double take, critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing, conversations about movies. Double Take is a cinema classics podcast produced by John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Double Take. So happy that you've been missing.
I know.
And now you're back. So let's make a movie out of that.
I think that's a good idea. Somebody disappears and then but who would care enough to look for me, John? And who would be technically sufficient enough to find
me? No, I would, because I'd need you to be on Cinema Classics. But the good thing is you wouldn't have to move out of your apartment or your condo here.
That's true.
Because all you need to do is look into a screen, and this whole movie, Missing, is practically from a screen.
It is practically. More than practical.
Okay, it is.
Yeah, it's not entirely. There's a little bit of live action, but
yes,
but 97%.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when they go down to Columbia, we have shots out there.
We have shots out there, and but again, it's from a security camera that's out in the public spaces in Columbia.
You know.
And when she's at the airport, she has a sign to greet her mother, and we're seeing it not from the camera, we're seeing it from her phone, which is videotaping her while she's waiting to greet her mother.
You know, as you're talking about the cameras set up, you know, it couldn't possibly have as many cameras as they let you think it is. There's a camera, everything.
Every single place.
But it's suspending your disbelief, of course.
Well, I watched the whole series of 24 because I would be on the Nordic track and it would keep me on for 50 minutes each show. And it seemed to me that there were security cameras all over L.A., made me looking over my shoulder whenever I was in L.A. And I don't think that that's true there. And it may not be true in real life, but it was really true in this movie. And most of it is really from her apartment, as
yes.
you started off saying.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that new. It's a new kind of adventure. It's mostly digital. Searching was the progenitor of this, although it's not a sequel. But it's just John Cho starred in that one when he was looking for his daughter. Now this, you have a daughter looking for the mother.
Yes.
It's the same. The producers, right, are the
yes.
same.
And I think the same writers.
Yes. So they both write. But I think they were editors or something in Searching, and now they're directors here.
Okay.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Nicholas D. Johnson and Will Merrick. And both of them were in Searching. So, and both of them have written this one. So, all right, Missing. I'll tell you, they put me through this, and I'm believing every second of it. I'm thinking about the times that I take a plane, and I'm thinking about being abducted in a foreign country, and I'm scared.
Uh-huh.
And how about you? How are you feeling?
I am not. I'm a Luddite, so I'm not really friendly with all this technology and all the this, that, and the other thing. I have an iPhone and an iPad, and that's about as far advanced as I am, and I struggle with it sometimes. And they had me hook, line, and sinker. And this would not be... I didn't know what we were going to see, and if you had told me I'm going to go see a movie about sleuths using iPhones and security cameras and computers,
yes.
and it's all in that format, and I've got to read really fast, and people are texting to each other, it would have been kind of a turnoff, but there I was in the theater, and that's how it was, and I was riveted at the screen.
You know, some of my thoughts were, first of all, I've done a few of these actions that she does. She's 18 years old, and believe me, she is so savvy.
Yeah.
And she navigates amongst apps and everywhere else on the internet with such skill, and yet this seems believable to me from what I've seen many youngsters who can deal with this. And I'm thinking, I like it. It's got action, and it also got me to think about how much more I could do with technology, even in my own business. In other words, I think it turns out positive for technology. Yeah, that she searches for her mother.
Well, and she's a good actress, and she's totally believable in the role. And your comment about that, I was once in the gym, and I couldn't get my iPhone to do something I wanted, and I asked a man that was there with his 9-year-old if I could borrow his son to help me with my phone.
Yeah.
So this young woman is totally credible.
She's played by Storm Reid.
Right.
And she's also a TV person.
Well, her emotional range... not that it's so wide, because it's concern and drama and some teenage activities, but she's totally believable.
Her mother, played by Nia Long.
Good actress.
It's good actress. She's a mother, Grace. And how many single moms are going through some of what she is in this film. That
hopefully
is
not all.
I know, but in that sense, that you know, she's got a new beau, and as things are unfolded here for us, he may not be on the up and up. In fact, nobody in this movie is on the up and up. I think, but our little great our little June. Our little June bug,
right.
You know, she's pretty straight arrow, the kid, the 18-year-old kid.
She is.
But I think everybody else is, in one way or the other, corrupt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's true. And it's revealed, and the layers are pulled back, and the boyfriend, the actor, was very credible in his role in, I'll just say, playing both sides of the coin.
Yes. Ken Leung is Kevin. Very good. Kind of dorky, but kind of, you know, but kind of suspicious.
Not too seemingly suave.
Yeah,
really
right.
Genuine.
Right, yeah.
But very suave. Not very genuine, but very suave.
But I'm thinking about how many single moms have found somebody and they're going to take a vacation. In this case, they're going to Colombia. I might have chosen another place, but they're going to Cartagena. And how many have ever worried about leaving their 18-year-old daughter at home?
That might, now that you mention that, because she was so concerned, don't answer the door, don't open the door if there's anybody out there. And she's so concerned about protecting her daughter, and yet she leaves her 18-year-old. And we all know what, all parents know what happens when you leave your 18-year-old. But in any event, she leaves the 18-year-old, and the girl is pretty true to her age group then. The fact that they went to Cartagena reminded me of Romancing the Stone, and makes me think that nothing good happens in Cartagena.
I know. My son loves South America, but he's been mugged more than once. Uh-huh. And you need to be careful. And Cartagena is a great choice.
Yes.
Because it does put you on edge to say, do you guys know what the reputation here is? Because it's a beautiful country, but it still has some danger to it. So it's a great choice.
Right. It makes it an adventure to go there.
Yeah.
And it would be romantic to go, wouldn't it? Hello, darling. I'd like to take you to Cartagena.
You know, and I'll tell you, for June, our protagonist, like every other 18th, and I had a daughter too, did the same thing to me when I left, and they had a party to beat the parties. She goes on and picks something called, I don't know, Rager or something like that, that apparently is an app that if you're going to throw this kind of party, it's going to advise you on what to do. I mean, no parent is safe in this world.
You can find anything on the internet. You can. Our audience can. I'm not able to, but there we
go. And also, in many of the superhero films, there's a lot of family involved. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a dad who's died, a mom who's barely knowledgeable about technology. It seems to me she needs to be a little bit more. So you've got some dicey circumstances going on here. And a daughter who's very attached to her father, and now the mother leaves. And a daughter who is as savvy as she is. They're really a really good setup for action here. Yeah. And she has friends. And I love her little friend who was there with her.
Right.
And
providing emotional support. Yes. She was her emotional support animal during not the most stressful times, but stressful times.
Yeah. Now, frequently in these, the police or the FBI come off poorly. How do they come off here?
I thought it was Action Jackson kind of thing. I think they really were right on the money. But the reason they were is because she was doing the surveillance for them.
Right.
And
she was doing
she
their
tried
work.
To get them involved, and they were standoffish initially. And then she started using her skills with the camera and sending the FBI evidence, which got them excited.
Yeah, yeah.
The U.S. attorney involved.
Gary.
Yeah.
One character interests me. Any thoughts on him? We haven't mentioned him at all, and I think he's key.
He is the low rent flatfoot in Cartagena, and I actually looked him up because he was so familiar to me, and his voice was so familiar to me. And his name is Joaquin de Alameda, and he comes across as very warm and very genuine. And she's looking for a man in Cartagena who can help her find her mother, and she settles on him. Oh, and let's just give it away, because he charges $8 an hour.
How about that? He's a kind of handyman that you get online.
Yeah.
$8, and he speaks perfect English.
Yeah.
You Brandon? Javi is his name in here. And I think he's delightful. And you and I looked at each other and said, where have we seen this guy before? Yeah. Because he is so good and so outstanding in this role. Low key, but can you imagine my identification with him is to say, look, if I were trying to find my wife or somebody else, I would like to have a Javi in Colombia to help me. And he does. He's perfect.
And he did have all the necessary skills, as it turned out, and especially his skills in supporting her.
Yes.
Emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very warm.
And no family is left unspoken. And he's having trouble with his son.
Right.
And we bring that in. So kind of, there's an organic hold here to families being trying to find each other.
Yeah.
And I just think that's wonderful. And now, how about the cinematography? Any thoughts on that? Because it's key now for some people out there listening to us saying, yeah, but I look at a screen all day. You know why?
Well, for me, not looking at a screen all day, it was very engaging, and my attention was drawn to it. And I would think that it would be okay for people. There's a beautiful vista out the plane window of Colombia when you land, and then much of Colombia is security camera footage of showing people on the streets as far as that goes. There's some nice outside shots. Javi has a selfie video as he talks to her while he's riding on his motor scooter around town, as far as that goes. But in terms of the grand, I didn't think the cinematography, it didn't strike me, it wasn't sweeping, it wasn't grand. It was actually very effective, though. And it had emotional, I'm going to say weight, but I'm not sure that's the right word.
I'm totally with you. I'm thinking my demands on cinematography are pretty high these days because we get so much good cinematography in almost every movie. So when it's not emphasized on this one, I had to stand back and say, how was it? And I would agree with you. Integrated perfectly. I mean, we can't expect it when you're dealing mostly with computer screens and so on. And they manage to make it colorful, and they make action-packed. Now, every time she hits a key, she's on a new app. I mean, you're going fast.
Yeah.
And then when you're in Cartagena, you got something of the streets, even though it is security cameras.
Well, and it's security cameras, and it's in black and white, which is perfect, because that's what it would be.
Oh,
and it makes it more noir.
Yes,
that's
a great point. I hadn't even thought about that, but you're right. Getting to the black and white it ties us into the noir tradition.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to talk about this without revealing something, but there's a framing device you don't know until the end, I guess, about this that still leaves me a little asking a few questions about what had happened. But I guess I just would point our audience to wait to the end, because there's a twist that M. Night Shyamalan would love to this story.
Yes,
I, without revealing it, I think it's challenging.
Well, there are some movies that you have to. Napoleon Dynamite is one where you had to stay until after the credits.
Oh, yes.
In order to see something. And I just saw another movie recently where you needed to stay after the credits, and it's not coming to me right now. But having said that, right at the end there is a surprise.
Yes.
And I think I know what the answer is, but I don't have the only opinion. So go and see for yourselves.
You know who did? Wayne. He has that kind of mind. He loves these little detective deals. So right away, we were yelling, now, why is Javi there? Da, da, da. And Wayne is right there with the
phone. And I think Javi is the key to the answer to the riddle the way I've answered it, but you decide.
Well, all right. Gary Hammond, the movie is missing. And you've been missing, and now you're back. And that movie is back in theaters. What do you advise our audience?
I suggest that you go buy some popcorn at the theater and watch the movie. I really enjoyed it very much. And I discouraged my wife from coming because I thought it was a whodunit and a chase and whatever. And I didn't think she'd enjoy it. And whether she would enjoy it or not, I don't know. But I enjoyed it much more than well, I just went in with an open mind.
And we are not techies in any way, although we can use a computer, and we have in our professions used computers.
Like
well, we have. So we're like normal folk, and anticipating that you wouldn't understand what's going on here. No, you will understand it. They do a very good job of doing that. They don't they don't insult you.
If you're not a computer person, it's more fun than you have ever had with your computer, your iPhone, or your iPad.
I have to leave with that comment.
I promise.